the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen. Counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
I'm ready to do what has to be done for the next generation. With the courage to fight for freedom. With the courage to fight for America. That's why I'm announcing today that I'm running for president of the United States.
That's former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum officially announcing he's running for president, and that's where we get started in another hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen here, turning attention to ABC's George Stephanopoulos, who talked to Santorum about the launch of his presidential campaign.
You are in? We're going to be in this race, and we're in it to win, and we're very excited about what the future holds. We've got a great team, and in the early primary states, we've got a lot of momentum, and I'm very, very excited about this opportunity.
You say you're in it to win, and you have won some early straw polls, one over the weekend in New Hampshire, another one in South Carolina,
right.
But the latest Gallup poll has you at the back of the pack, and you got trounced in your last Senate race, and it leads me to a question that came in from one of our viewers. It's Charles F. of Los Angeles, California. He asks, please ask Senator Santorum why, after being rejected by the people of Pennsylvania, 59-41 in his last Senate race, he thinks Americans would want him as their president. Do you have a credible path for the nomination?
Oh, I think I do. I mean, look, what people are looking for is someone who has stood by their principles in good times and in bad. In 2006, I think by everybody's estimation, was a pretty bad time for a Republican and particularly for a conservative in states like Pennsylvania. And I stood up and I didn't back away. I didn't back down on trying to reform the Social Security system. President Bush, went out after the 2004 election and said, we've got to do something because Social Security is unsustainable. In an election year, I went out to the floor of the United States Senate with Jim DeMint and started arguing for reforming Social Security. Not even Paul Ryan in his budget now, in the face of trillions of dollars of deficits currently, had the temerity to step forward and say we have to do Social Security. So, yeah, I did some things that were very unpopular, but if you look back and what I did and when I did it, people can say, you know what, he may have lost, but he didn't flinch. He stood by what he believed in, and he continued the fight through the end.
But it is admirable to stand by what you believe in, but could it lead to the same result this time around? For example, you just mentioned Congressman Ryan's budget plan, it appears that you want to go even farther than Congressman Ryan. You say you've criticized him for not applying his changes in Medicare, which Democrats say would end Medicare as we know it, for not applying that to those at or near the retirement age. So you'd say to people,
right,
55 and older, yes, your Medicare will be changed as well?
Well, remember, George, almost 25% of seniors right now have what the Ryan plan is. It's called Medicare Advantage. And, in fact, that number was growing up until Barack Obama slashed the program. But the point is, seniors were able to take money and go out and purchase insurance. And, by the way, the seniors who were most likely to do it were lower income and actually less educated seniors. Why? Because they found it was a better deal. And so I believe that, seniors, by the way, in the drug program, Medicare Part D is exactly the Ryan plan. In other words, seniors get resources from the federal government, go out and make choices. No senior believes they're being thrown off a cliff because they have Medicare Part D. Medicare Part D isn't a government-run, one-size-fits-all drug program, and it's working wonderfully. Seniors love it. We forced it down their throat, quote, according to the Democrats. No, we didn't. We gave them the choices, and seniors can, in fact, do this. It does save money, and it's going to be a good thing for them, and it's going to be a great thing for our country.
You've also argued that our enemies don't fear President Obama, but where's the evidence of that? The Al-Qaeda leadership has been decimated. Osama bin Laden is dead. No significant attack against the United States has been successful. Where is that evidence?
Well, the evidence is, if you look at the countries that we have been appeasing, the Iranians, they are moving full scale forward with their nuclear program. They know that the president is not going to do anything to stop him. He has been a paper tiger, and they are the existential threat to the state of Israel. And the Israelis know it, and Americans know it. And this president has not stepped forward and has not done anything to stop that threat. That's one, but there are many. Look at what he's doing in Syria, slapping the back of the hand of Assad instead of going after him. He's at least as tough as he went after Mubarak, our friend.
Coming up, Santorum is in, but does that really affect the race? Hosts weigh in on that next when the Talk Radio Countdown review continues.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag. Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
You know, getting the brands you want doesn't have to mean worrying about a big credit card bill.
Man, I hate worrying. It gives me the hives.
Yeah. Anyways, at Rent-A-Center, you don't even need a credit card. And if you ever need to bring it back and stop paying, well, you can. So you never have to worry.
Hey, the hives are going away, brother.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, rent-to-own 50-inch LG plasmas for a special price, worry-free. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. It doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302. Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302. Ask for Lumitone.
Lori Morris doesn't go out without Bullfrog Mosquito Coast.
My son and I are mosquito magnets. And if I'm not wearing the Mosquito Coast sunscreen, I am immediately eaten alive. And so is he. I saw the Mosquito Coast covered both sun protection and insect repellent. We don't get sunburn when we use the Bullfrog, and we don't get bit.
Bullfrog Mosquito Coast. Deep-free 8-hour repellent, SPF 30. No wonder it's the number one burn and bite protection. Use as directed.
Now at Exxon and Mobil locations, you can save 15 cents per gallon for 60 days when you use your SpeedPass device for fuel purchases at participating locations. Just register your SpeedPass device at speedpass.com by June 30th, 2011 to start saving. That's right, save 15 cents per gallon when you use your SpeedPass device. Visit speedpass.com today. Excludes business and fleet card accounts. Purchases in Louisiana and New Jersey do not qualify. Rebates will be posted to the credit or check card that is linked to SpeedPass. Maximum gallons eligible for rebate is 100 per account. Offer may not be combined with any other SpeedPass offers. Allow a minimum of 90 days to receive rebates.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown. Tom Roberts from MSNBC talked to host Michael Smirkanish about Rick Santorum and what he brings to the table.
So Santorum won a New Hampshire straw poll over the weekend, but his appeal on the national scene is a bit slow. So what does he bring to the table, and what does he have to do to really become a little more provocative with his profile nationally?
Well, he's a pretty provocative guy, Thomas. One thing I can assure you as a Pennsylvanian about Senator Santorum is there's no gray area. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy who evokes a tremendous amount of passion for him and passion against him. Remember now, just 5 years ago, he lost in this state by 18 points to now Senator Casey. I think you need Pennsylvania as a Republican to win the national election, and I don't think he can win it. So he's going to provide a lot of fireworks. If I'm Mitt Romney, I'm happy to have him in. If I'm Mitt Romney, I say the more the merrier to the right of me, and Santorum clearly is. Let him break up that very conservative vote.
Well, he is a fiscal and social conservative, proud to tell everybody. So, you know, the Faith and Freedom Coalition Conference in D.C. brought out some of the big GOP prominent religious conservatives, including Romney, Tim Pawlenty, Michelle Bachmann. So, in your estimation, how large of a role does the religious right play in the nominating process?
People will criticize me for saying this, but too much is my view. Too much. I think that the party has become so dominated by very socially conservative individuals that they've driven a lot of moderates out of the party who've become independents. But it's a force to be reckoned with in the primary season. But here's the issue, and we've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. If you tack too far to the right in order to appeal to those social conservatives, you leave yourself in no man's land come the general election. So you look at the dance that Romney is doing right now, where he's trying to appeal appeal to those folks, but he doesn't want to say things that he's going to be held accountable for come a November election against President Obama.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Santorum and Gingrich were being paid by Fox News as contributors. They're suspended now, not getting pay. Sarah Palin's still on the payroll over there. She's always grabbing headlines, certainly does wield some influence. But do you expect her to throw her hat in the ring, or do you think she's going to be a kingmaker and then throw her endorsement behind someone?
I just talked about this on the radio, and it seems like I'm increasingly in the minority because I don't think that she goes. And it's funny you bring up Fox because, you know, Huckabee is still at Fox because he's not running. Mm-hmm. Gingrich and Santorum are both out. When she cuts the tie with Fox, you'll know that she's really serious. But at this point, I'm still not convinced that she gets into it. If she does, she's fighting for that same type of a vote that I think Rick Santorum is going to fight for, and Newt Gingrich, and Michelle Bachmann if she gets into this. And again, if I'm Mitt Romney, I say bring them all, because they can all fight about that very conservative vote. Mm-hmm. And if there are any moderates left, bring them to me.
Here hosts Dave Ross and Luke Burbank talk about Santorum's entry into the race and the problem he's going to have right out of the gate.
Rick Santorum says he's going to run for president. He is in it to win it. The fight begins today. A lot of us are trying to figure out what hole he's trying to fill in the Republican galaxy. I will admit to you right off the bat, I don't know why he's doing this. I mean, can the private sector be that bad? Is it that tough to find a job that he has to run for president? Maybe you understand it. I mean, do you understand what it is that what his appeal might be? And I'm talking now, I'm not saying, obviously, not probably not to you or me, but his appeal to other Republicans even.
I don't know. I mean, I heard somebody say this morning that if you have the social conservatives strongly supporting you and you're a would-be Republican presidential candidate, you've always got at least a chance. And maybe that's what Santorum is thinking. If he can kind of stake out, because some of the other candidates are probably trying to temper a guy like Mitt Romney. You know, he's, I guess you could describe him as a social conservative, but he's not a guy who's going to play to that. He's not going to play to it the way Santorum is. And I guess Santorum's thought is, you never know. I've got this very motivated, very, very, dedicated wing of the Republican Party that I might be able to kind of, like, really establish myself as their guy. So maybe that's what he's thinking in the back of his mind. I mean, I don't understand why any of these people get in on this. The guy who used to run Godfather's Pizza?
Herman Cain.
I mean, Herman Cain, I don't know what he's going to be.
I think he's going to be the libertarian. Libertarian alternative, total free enterprise. Santorum is going to be this moral crusader. Although he says one of his quotes here was every single American will be hooked to the government with an IV, the way it's going. Really? Really? I mean, I guess then he's going to get rid of unemployment benefits. He's going to get rid of Social Security. He's going to get rid of all these Medicare. I mean, I don't know what that kind of thing means. And I don't think that'll get far, because we now know that even conservatives want their Social Security.
I think what happens is these candidates, they start reading their own press releases, and they're surrounded by a group of people who are saying, "Oh yeah, you are great. You really could be president." And they sort of talk themselves into running this race, because I think it's a very flattering thing to have people tell you, "Oh, you really should run for president."
Somebody should ask Rick a gotcha question about Betsy Ross. And if he gets it right, I'll have newfound respect for him.
Host Steve Gill isn't so sure that anybody is really going to care that Santorum is running for president. Rick Santorum officially in the presidential campaign now. Not sure anybody's going to really pay much attention or notice. Not sure what Rick Santorum's real play is. I don't think there's a lot of clamoring for Rick. Not sure what Rick's actually doing. Maybe trying to elevate his status so he can run for something else in Pennsylvania. Not sure what Rick Santorum's doing, but he says he's running for president of the United States, and that's about all the attention he's going to get.
Coming up, we've the focus to Sarah Palin again, and hear how last week's bus tour affected her possible campaign. That's up next here on the Countdown Show.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C? We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ally C. And the answer is, Ally C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ally C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ally C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally C. For more information and to order Ally C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ally C.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. We're talking about what talk radio and talk television are focused on, and that includes this field of Republican presidential candidates. Over at Fox, Bill Hemmer, speaking with former National Republican Congressional Committee Chairman, Director Karen Hanready. And also in this conversation, New York Post columnist Kirsten Powers about Sarah Palin.
Let's start with the question Chris Wallace struggled with Sarah Palin on Sunday. What's she up to?
This is the million-dollar question, Bill. I think, I think she's out there doing interviews precisely like this to test the waters. Clearly, she's, been spending the past year and a half to 2 years really looking into the policy issues, which is what a lot of people suggested that she do after the 2008 election. Put her head down, figure out what her policy positions are on a range of issues, and I think that that's the Sarah Palin that we're starting to see right now.
I'm still not convinced that she's running, though. You're not clear, right? You don't really know what it is.
I don't think Sarah Palin is clear right now. I mean, she has a lot that she would give up in her personal life if she decided to run for president. I think it's a far greater road ahead of her than Chris Wallace made it sound like, in his endorsement, or not, I guess not endorsement, but at least support of her running in the future. I think, she doesn't have the infrastructure together right now. She needs to raise a lot of money. She needs to be very disciplined in running for president. And those are actually qualities that we really haven't seen out of Sarah.
Okay,
Palin.
Now, Kirsten, I'm reading your comments from earlier. You say you've always thought she was a serious candidate. Does that mean, are you alluding to her intent in 2012 or no?
No, not so much her intent, but I think that the way Chris Wallace was talking was sort of giving voice to the idea that she's a serious candidate, and I've always thought she's a serious candidate, and she's somebody who's been consistently underestimated, certainly by the Democrats. I think that if you remember how she was treated, sort of hazed when she was the vice presidential candidate, and then everybody thought like, oh, we got her, and she's going to go away and in shame or something, and in fact she's just gotten bigger and bigger and has a huge base of support, and I think that she has clearly been boning up on the issues and is did an impressive interview. And
wasn't it Howard Dean over the weekend who suggested that inside the Beltway they're not taking her seriously, and that could be a fatal flaw?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they think everybody thinks that they can just sort of mock her. And, you know, an interesting thing that she does is she just doesn't play by the rules, and it really drives them crazy. But I think it's a strength for her that she really doesn't care, that she just says, you know, I'm just going to do things the way I want to do it. And you know what? That's what Americans want right now.
You know,
they want somebody who's not an insider.
You win national elections now by winning the middle, the independent voter. Now,
right.
Karen, do you think she has that crossover appeal?
I don't see that she has that crossover appeal at this point. And let's not forget, she did a fine interview yesterday with Chris Wallace, but she also has a number of things that I think make a lot of voters, including Republican voters, very uncomfortable about a future presidential candidate, which is, you know, doing a reality series. She's got a lot of dirty laundry out there just with her oldest daughter, and some of the reality programs that she's either done or is planning to do. And these are things that make her seem less serious. So I guess looking forward, is she going to continue on this more strident policy-oriented path, or is she going to continue to dabble in, you know, more of the Hollywood, more of the, you know, it's all about me and it's less about America?
Well,
and I think that's what Sarah Palin juggles.
She did an itinerary last week and never announced where she was going. Everybody showed up anyway. Kirsten, I'll give the last comment to react to what Karen just described.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, we live in a celebrity culture, so I don't think that works against her at all, and I think that her show was actually a pretty good show and pretty interesting. I don't think that the fact that her older daughter, I'm not even sure what that you're referring to. I mean, people are constantly criticizing her family. I mean, so her daughter had a child, you know, out of wedlock. I mean, I don't really understand.
No, it's the reality show she's
not,
about to do.
You know, okay, so her daughter's in a reality show. I don't really know why that would disqualify somebody. And I do feel that she's held to a different standard as a woman,
okay,
what her children are doing.
Right. No,
you know,
I don't think
where
she
we never
is.
Talk about what the male candidate's children are doing.
Coming up, more conversation about Sarah Palin, her Paul Revere comments, and what many of her fans are trying to do on Wikipedia. That's up next on the Talk Radio Review.
This is Troy Aikman.
And Hulk Hogan with another worry-free shopping tip.
You know, getting the brands you want doesn't have to mean worrying about a big credit card bill.
Man, I hate worrying. Gives me the hives.
Yeah. Anyways, at Rent-A-Center, you don't even need a credit card. And if you ever need to bring it back and stop paying, well, you can. So you never have to worry.
Hey, the hives are going away, brother.
Right now at Rent-A-Center, rent-to-own 50-inch LG plasmas for a special price, worry-free. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
When you're shopping for a home at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we created the Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval. Come in, sit down, and talk with a Wells Fargo Home Mortgage Consultant, and we'll let you know the mortgage loan range for which you could qualify. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is a great first step to help you start looking at homes within your price range. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is not a commitment to lend. Please call for additional program details. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here with breaking news. Let's go to Jim in the chopper.
Hey, Flo, looks like Progressive is offering the Snapshot discount. It's their biggest discount ever. Should be huge.
That's big, Jim. But what's with the chopper?
What do you mean? It's a chopper. Choppers are sweet.
They kind of are.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayville Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
Bullfrog Sunblock passes the toughest tests under the sun. Listen to mom and marathoner Rachel Munoz.
My sunblock of choice is Bullfrog Marathon Mist. And I accidentally stumbled upon it because I was running a marathon here in the summer in Mississippi. I was looking for a sunblock that would stay on through sweat and everything. I fell in love with it. When I put it on my kids, I can put it on really fast, and I don't have to worry. Bullfrog, it just stays on.
Bullfrog Sunblock, the toughest waterproof protection under the sun, based on testing standards used as directed.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Food prices are spiraling out of control. In order to survive, you will soon need to produce some or all of your own food in your backyard or small farm. Many years ago, sought-after radio guest Marjorie Wildcraft and her family began working to find the easiest ways to grow food for the crisis we are now facing. Marjorie created a video that is the fastest way to learn how to grow food. You'll learn the most efficient gardening methods, myths and truths of orchards and edible landscaping, effective predator protection, and even home butchering. spring, everyone is talking about Marjorie's DVD, and it's highly recommended by Jim Rawls, Jack Spurko, and Bountiful Gardens. Read her free reports on how to have a green thumb, making free fertilizer, and answers the question, do you need a gun to garden? If you want the security, savings, and freedom of food self-reliance, buy Marjorie's DVD and get the free reports at backyardfoodproduction.com. Again, that's backyardfoodproduction.com.
Did you know that billions are spent every year just for a simple drink of water? But it's the quality of the water that Americans are concerned with, especially after floods, hurricanes, earthquakes, and other disasters that routinely disrupt and contaminate water supplies. Safe drinking water is too important to leave to chance. That's why you need an AquaRain water filtration system. The American-made AquaRain is an essential survival tool that operates for just pennies per gallon. It lets you retrieve water from lakes, ponds, streams, or rooftops during any disaster and assures you of healthy drinking water. The stainless steel AquaRain's patented space-age ceramic and GAC technology uses microfiltration and gravity to purify water. No chemicals, no electricity, no water pressure needed. And AquaRain's cartridges last for thousands of gallons. AquaRain is hands down the best water filter on the market. Call 800-572-2051 or go to aquarain.com. That's 800-572-2051 or aquarain.com. Every family needs an AquaRain.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. And most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
We continue now. I'm Doug Steffen on the Talk Radio Countdown. Been a lot of talk about comments that Palin made regarding Paul Revere. It was at the end of her bus tour. For those who missed it, here's what Palin said when asked what she now claims was a gotcha question, if she knew who Paul Revere was.
He who warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
Talk host Joe Crummy here with Sarah Palin's comments in the focus about Paul Revere, of course, and why some people are trying to argue that she's technically right. The way she said it just made her sound stupid.
She was asked in Boston as she stepped out of Paul Revere's house, which I've seen. I used to work in Boston. It was a very small, tiny little house close to the North Church, very historic section of Boston. And she had been asked, about Paul Revere, what are you doing here? And she started talking about Paul Revere. Now, our first audio here is her originally talking about it. She apparently supposedly got it wrong. She didn't know. Most of us would think, when you're thinking of Paul Revere, he's the guy that was going up and down the countryside warning the colonists that the British were coming. My understanding, I haven't looked this up. Meg, you might want to do a web search on this, but my understanding is that there was something about the old North Church in Boston, and the British were going to be attacking, and it was going to be one if by land, two if by sea, and my understanding is that Revere had asked a friend of his to go up into the tower, and he would hold a couple of lanterns up, right? And from the tower of the church, Paul Revere could see the tower from the streets. And, of course, if you're up in the tower with the vantage point, I guess you could see Boston Harbor. You could see how the British were coming, whatever, whether they were coming by land or by sea. This is the folklore and probably the history of what happened. So Paul Revere supposedly set all this stuff up. And at one point he sees the lantern and he realizes they are coming, land or sea. It's been a while. But then he goes running off onto the countryside saying the British are coming. That's roughly any fifth grader would know that, right? I'm pretty much right on that. Meg, are you at Google right now? Is that roughly what you're seeing?
Your approximation of history
is correct.
Is approximately right. All right, so this is, the reporters then asked Palin about it. This is what she said. And this is apparently after she came right out of Paul Revere's house.
He warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to send those warning shots and bells that we were going to be secure and we were going to be free.
All right, enough. I don't know. Doesn't sound right. Here she is explaining it to Chris Wallace.
You know what? I didn't mess up about Paul Revere. Here's what Paul Revere did. He warned the Americans that the British were coming, and they're going to try to take our arms, so we got to make sure that we were protecting ourselves and shoring up all of our ammunition and our firearms so that they couldn't take it. But remember that the British had already been there, many soldiers, for 7 years in that area. And part of Paul Revere's ride, and it wasn't just one ride, he was a courier, he was a messenger. Part of his ride was to warn the British that were already there that, hey, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to take American arms. You are not going to beat our own well-armed, a person's individual private militia that we have. He did warn the British.
No.
I want to back her.
I really do, but I can't. All right, let's finish it.
British. And in a shout-out, gotcha type of question that was asked of me, I answered candidly, and I know my American history.
Oh, man. Yeah, everybody's... Now, I read a piece today that I think tries to make the point that she technically is right, because everybody she was warning was British anyway. Is that what it is? We were all British at the time. It was technically before we stopped being British, so that's okay. I mean, let's go over this one more time here.
Warned the British that they weren't going to be taking away our arms by ringing those bells and making sure as he's riding his horse through town to...
Warning the British that we're not, you know, I don't like jumping on the bandwagon that she's stupid. I really don't want to do it, but I'm stuck.
Talk host Carl Wolfson here with a focus on Sarah Palin's fans who have been waging a bit of an online war trying to change the Wikipedia entry for Paul Revere to match what Sarah Palin said.
Sarah Palin's stumble over the Paul Revere part of American history has prompted a scuffle on Wikipedia's Paul Revere entry between editors on the site and Palin fans seeking to back up her description of Revere's midnight ride.
So now we're going to change history.
Of course. Well, they want to change history in the textbooks. Why not start on Wikipedia, which they already have, by the way. One user advises, quote, if you want to find a source to work into the article, you should search for sources that agree with what Palin said before she said it. Sarah Palin doesn't belong in this article because it's an article about Paul Revere, not about Sarah Palin. But if you want to bolster her position retroactively, you just need to go back to anything released a week ago or more. Oh, God. And, you know, she's got a big fan base out there, and they're working hard to visit the Paul Revere section of Wikipedia and rewrite history to conform with Sarah's stumbling. Ah, that's the new world we're in.
Coming up, shifting the focus to Wienergate, as Congressman Anthony Weiner holds press conference to admit what we all have suspected all along. That's up next here on The Countdown Show.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to Geico.
Right.
Yeah, and Geico also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Fishing Captain Chris Owens will not leave the dock without Bullfrog Mosquito Coast.
Running inshore fishing charters here in the low country, you put the Mosquito Coast on from Bullfrog, and you don't even have to think about the mosquitoes. Not having to worry about the sun, the mosquitoes, or reapplying sunscreen from being wet. Three less things I have to think about. It's nice to be able to do it in one shot. We just coat up with Bullfrog and go.
Bullfrog Mosquito Coast. Deep-free 8-hour repellent, SPF 30. No wonder it's the number one burn and bite protection. Use as directed.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
Summertime plans may include a 21-hour flight to the land down under, a drive from Boston to Grandma's house in Phoenix, a 10-hour train ride through the Grand Canyon, or a cross-country bus trip to Orlando. Itinerary aside, extended travel in a plane, car, train, or bus can increase the risk of developing blood clots. According to the Society for Vascular Surgery, standing and stretching the legs every 2 to 4 hours is advised for travelers at risk for deep vein thrombosis, or DVT. With extended travel, a blood clot can potentially form in the veins of the leg. If the clot breaks loose and travels to the lungs, it causes a pulmonary embolism. Each year, 300,000 to 600,000 Americans die of a blood clot in the lungs, according to 2011 Centers for Disease Control and Prevention statistics. Since half of DVT patients never experience warning signs, early detection is important. Anticoagulant medication can help treat DVT. Visit the Society for Vascular Surgery website, vascularweb.org, for more information.
I never thought I'd miss the days when a gallon of gas cost $3. Good thing the Sears Blue Automotive crew is here to help. They explained how old spark plugs could be hurting my car's fuel efficiency and told me when mine should be replaced.
Through June 4th, save on all Goodyear tires, plus get up to $80 after mail-in rebate with the purchase of 4 Goodyear tires. Special financing available. And go to SearsAuto.com to get other great offers, including a coupon for a conventional Valvoline oil change for only $21.99 with no shop fees. Sears Auto Center. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Offer end dates vary from 6-4 to 7-30.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown. Yesterday afternoon, Congressman Anthony Weiner of New York held a press conference where he admitted that the lewd photos posted on his Twitter account were, in fact, his own photos, and that he was the person featured in the photos. He also admitted that he was the one that posted them. And while he did take full responsibility and he apologized, he also said he had no intention of resigning. So here's T.J. Walker talking about Weiner's apology and what he thinks is left of Weiner's political career.
How did Anthony Weiner do in his big press conference today? Well, I've heard of a day late and a dollar short. This was 10 days late and a dollar short. If he had just given this press conference the day this incident happened, I think most of us would have forgotten by now. But now, with it percolating, with it being the number one news story in America for more than a week, a news story that's been chewed on all over the world. At this point, he's such an object of ridicule. I frankly don't see how he overcomes this. Now, rating his actual apology, I give him high marks. He seemed sincere. Those tears seemed real. It wasn't one of these things where, well, if I've offended anybody, I'm sorry. No, it was a thorough apology. He said, I was dumb, I was stupid, I was deceitful, I lied, I have no one to blame but myself. I mean, that was a thorough apology. He was groveling. He was not giving himself any out. He said he certainly recognizes that people want to form negative opinions of him. So as an apology, that's as good as it gets, I think. The question is, does it matter at this point? It certainly takes some of the steam out of this, although he's going to be a big story for days and weeks to come. Question, can he overcome this? Can he ever have a meaningful political career again? At this point, you know, I wouldn't rule anything out. People wrote off Bill Clinton. He came back. People wrote off Elliot Spitzer. He has a high profile these days. The thing that's a little different about Anthony Weiner is he's now such a joke. He didn't break any laws, or at least any big laws that we know of. He didn't kill anyone. But he is just now such an object of ridicule. He's seen as such a pathetic joke. And so much of politics is about the perception of authority, not actual authority. And if people cannot mention your name, if you can't leave a message with somebody without everyone bursting into laughter, it's hard to imagine how you can get anything done. Here's my prediction. He does not run for governor or mayor or senator because he can never raise the money. I think at this point he could get reelected to Congress, his seat in Brooklyn, but At some point, if you can't get anything done in Congress and people just laugh at you and they're afraid to sign on to any bill you've signed, at some point you sort of slink away. At this point, that's what I'm predicting of his political career. Can he rehabilitate himself as perhaps a number one rated talk show host or blogger? That is still wide open for Anthony Weiner.
MSNBC's Dylan Ratigan speaking to Taco Sam Cedar, Tim Carney from the Washington Examiner, and Christina Freeland from Reuters about Weiner's apology and the way the news media has been all over this ridiculous story.
And some last thoughts from our panel, Sam, here.
Well, I mean, I think, he handled it fairly well as you could in these things. But my hope is that at the end of the day, that when we have a situation where it doesn't impact what he's doing as a legislator, then good. Who cares?
2 cents.
As a Catholic, I believe that if you're contrite and you vow to sin no more, that, you deserve forgiveness. I also think there's a disturbing pattern here of lie and attack your enemies until you get caught and then go out and wipe the slate clean. There, as a conservative journalist, I'll pipe up for Breitbart and the kid on Twitter who first caught them, who were attacked mercilessly for telling the truth by somebody who was lying.
Yeah, I agree with that. Christian?
I thought he handled it very badly at the beginning, but today was a masterful performance. I thought he was very contrite. He was very direct. He let people ask him a lot of very tough personal questions. If there was any way he could have handled today the admission that he did it and he lied about it that gave him the best possible chance of staying in office, I think this press conference, it's going to be used by crisis management trainers for businessmen who've done
as
something
a
wrong.
Well,
as a how-to.
Well, business women.
And you know what? The one thing that was really great, I think, is that he didn't make his wife stand up there with them.
Yeah.
Usually the Pauls who get caught doing this kind of thing make their poor wife stand there. I hate that. It's so humiliating. And they didn't do anything wrong, and they have to stand beside the schmuck who did. So that also, that was a classy touch.
I agree with that. And if you were to look at the sort of catharsis of watching somebody who is layered in lies, which our entire political system is layered in lies. I mean, like the Grand Canyon is layered in sediment, okay? Is it possible that as the observability of information, the fact that you can see what's going on, continues to just populate our earth, that we're going to see more of this catharsis on things that are much more consequential than a man's penis?
No.
This
is the easiest thing to catch somebody on.
Yes.
Anybody on Twitter could be doing the investigations about this because you need to know nothing, and it really is about nothing. And so this is why we see a media jump on this, because it's the easiest thing
Sam,
in the world.
Also, Sam made a really important point here. If he hadn't lied about it, if the congressman hadn't lied about it, would this be a really big deal?
There's a bigger issue, which is why are we not going to see
the... It's not illegal? I mean, really is this? It's like, is watching a porno movie immoral?
What do we need to do? Tim Carney, what do I need to do to get the catharsis of truth that is necessary to move this country forward? What has to happen? I need to go beyond a man's penis in order to fix this country. I got major issues.
Well, one major issue, I came up
How do we get
DC,
the catharsis
I came up
of truth?
DC. We had a city councilman in D.C. today, the accused of basically embezzling at least $60,000 to buy an Audi of government money, a lot more money. I'm not going to say details because I don't know them all, but that's the sort of thing where I think you hold politicians accountable, and one of the ways you do it is you just say, look, this is not okay. Even if you apologize and you're wrong, if you're abusing the public trust, you have to be voted out of the office. That's the difference here. I don't see him abusing the public trust.
Talk host Dory Munson can't believe that Weiner isn't stepping down and that the Democratic leadership isn't pushing him to do so.
Now, what I find so remarkable about all this is that he's not stepping aside, and the Democratic leadership apparently is not asking their colleague to resign. Anthony Weiner said that, yes, indeed, he has made an awful lot of mistakes.
At the outset, I'd like to make it clear that I have made terrible mistakes that have hurt the people I care about the most, and I'm deeply sorry. I have not been honest with myself, my family, my constituents, my friends, and supporters and the media.
Yeah, and didn't care, apparently, that he was destroying the life of a 21-year-old girl, here, a young woman here in Seattle. Her name is Jeanette Cordova. Jeanette Cordova, right after the press conference began, tweeted, "Am I the only one still confused?" She's somebody who earlier today said that she's been in a bunker for the last 4 days. She feels like a prisoner, apparently, because of everything that's, you know, her being drawn into this firestorm of controversy.
Up next, we shift to John Edwards and the debate over whether he ought to go to jail. That's next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
All right, let's see what we continue here. News Talk Radio, talk television, issue-oriented sort of political talk is the focus here, and certainly a lot of attention being paid to former Senator and presidential candidate John Edwards. From MSNBC, Angria Mitchell talked to Ruth Marcus from The Washington Post about her article on Edwards, where she writes that she doesn't think he ought to go to jail, even though she thinks he's pond scum.
You wrote, and you got a lot of people sort of raising eyebrows, because you wrote memorably that Edwards may be pond scum.
That's a technical legal term.
Right, pond scum, but that doesn't mean that he is guilty of violating campaign finance law. You're saying basically that this may not, it's not just that it may not be winnable, it may not be a smart case. Why?
Well, a few things. The campaign finance laws are very complicated, and if you run afoul of them, usually the remedy is the Federal Election Commission brings a civil case against you, and it fines your campaign, and you might have to pay a lot of money from your campaign. If you've done something really, really bad, federal prosecutors can step in, and they can bring a criminal case against you. But they have to prove that you acted knowingly and willfully, and so that's why you saw John Edwards saying,
exactly.
I never, ever thought I was breaking
right.
The law.
That out there right now.
And he's got a pretty good basis, in my view, for saying that, because this case, you could completely stand up in court and argue that this is a campaign contribution, and you wouldn't be laughed out of court. But it is definitely a stretch, especially in terms of a criminal prosecution, from where the cases have been before this. And so I have two questions about it. One is, will they win? And the second is, even if they do win, because let's face it, John Edwards is is not the most sympathetic figure these days. Is this a wise use of prosecutorial resources? You know, we call it prosecutorial discretion for a reason.
Well, let me get down to the fact that both of the donors paid gift taxes on this, on their tax returns.
I'm a little bit confused. I've read
that. Is that true?
I've asked about that. I'm a little bit confused about it, so I wouldn't take that as a fact.
Don't take that to the bank. Now, the Justice Department is indicating that they've got more than has been seen, but at the same time, the Edwards defense is doing a very good job of putting information out there to raise the question of whether the Justice Department...
Maybe the Justice Department has more, but there were some very intense plea negotiations going on between the two sides. It's been reported that there was talk about pleading to a misdemeanor, but it broke apart over an agreement on whether there would be any jail time, and if there would be any jail time, where that might be served. Could it be house arrest or whatever? So you would think that in trying to squeeze and convince the Edwards defense team to plead that justice would have shown a lot of its cards, and it didn't show them that I'm aware of to the defense team, and it didn't show that much in the indictment.
Charlie Rose talked to Jeff Toobin and Pete Williams about the politics behind the indictment of Edwards.
Is the case in part simply following the money, as I assume it is, but also are there people who were on the inside, have turned against John Edwards and are saying, this is what happened and this is why it happened and I was part of it?
Well, yes, most notably Andrew Young, who was central to his campaign, a personal assistant to Edwards, and he was very much involved in receiving the money. And, in fact, the government says that one of the wealthy benefactors here, Rachel Bunny Mellon, the heir to the Mellon fortune, actually sent him a note because in April of 2007 she was upset about the coverage of Edwards spending $400 on a haircut. So she said, you know, I was furious that people are attacking Edwards for this, and now I'm quoting from this note that's in the indictment. She says, it inspired me. From now on, all haircuts, et cetera, that are necessary and important for the campaign, please send the bills to me. It's a way to help our friend without government restrictions. So the Justice Department is saying this shows that the money that she ended up giving Edwards to help keep the mistress out of the public eye was in service of the campaign and to try to get around the campaign laws.
Is this a prosecution? What kind of case do they have? And are you surprised that this indictment came down?
Well, there's been a big build-up here, so it wasn't surprising that it came down at the end. But, you know, this is a case, there's a real paradox about this case. It is factually devastating. Who would want to present to the jury this guy whose wife was dying of cancer, he has this affair, he lies about it, he recruits his aide with this ridiculous idea of saying that he's the father, that Andrew Young for a while says he's the father of the child. I mean, the facts are appalling. But legally, I think it's a very problematic case.
A weak case for the prosecution.
Well, I don't know about weak, but it's problematic in the sense that there has never been, as far as I'm aware, a criminal prosecution based on violating the federal campaign law in this way. And these payments at least do not on the surface look like traditional campaign contributions. I mean, it may be that they were campaign contributions, but they didn't go through the campaign. The campaign didn't know about them. And I think there is a possibility that you could argue to a judge to throw out the case or to the jury to acquittal and say, look, you know, this was bad behavior by John Edwards. But whatever else it wasn't a violation of the campaign finance laws.
All of this, lots of ability for you to comment. Send your comments to Doug at DougSteffen.com or follow us on Facebook. It's the Talk Radio Countdown Show section at DougSteffen.com.